And now, get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Think and Sade, written by Paul Reimer. Think and Sade is brought to you by Crisco, the pure all-vegetable shortening. It's digestible. And now here's Zella Lane. You look brimful of something today, Zella.
Well, I'm so excited I can hardly stand it. Friends, I've just finished looking at Crisco's new wartime cookbook, Recipes for Good Eating, it's called. And my, it's wonderful. 64 pages packed with recipes, beautiful color photographs of Crisco foods, and lots of those method pictures that illustrate helpful cooking tricks. There's a new kind of color index, too, that's a honey. I just wish I could see you when you get your cookbook. The recipes sound so good, and they're so practical for these wartime days. You know, when so many things are hard to get. Now, for instance, there are grand Crisco ways of fixing leftovers, tempting dishes for thrifty meats, and a whole section devoted to wonderful Crisco hot bread. Another with the best dessert recipes. And you know what? This cookbook gives you alternate ingredients to use in recipes in case there are foods you can't buy. Isn't that a dandy help these war days? Oh, you'll want to send for Crisco's new wartime cookbook right away. So print your name and address clearly. Mail it with 10 cents in coin and a Crisco label, any size. Address Crisco, Department A, Cincinnati 1, Ohio. Remember the address now. Crisco, Department A, Cincinnati 1, Ohio. The offer is only good in the United States, and since you'll have to allow 14 to 18 days for delivery, why not send today for Crisco's new wartime cookbook? And now back to Vic and Sade.
Well, sir, it's late afternoon as we approach the small house halfway up on the next block now. And here on the front porch, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gook swinging gently in the swing. The master of the menage has newly arrived home from the office, and he's saying pleasedly to his wife,
"Well, I'm back in harness and traveling the same old wagon ruts again, and it certainly feels great.
Nice sensation, I suppose, to sit at your desk and say hello to all the clerks and people you haven't seen for 2 weeks.
Mighty nice sensation. No man get away from the grind 15 or 16 days like I did, and it's a real pleasure to return. Man feels refreshed and ready to pitch in. Even ugly old Steve Chaffbutter looked good to me after not having seen him for 2 weeks.
How about your wife?
I have the prettiest wife in McLean County.
Oh, boy.
No, but it is nice to be back. This noon, a few of us were loafing around the telephone switchboard there, laughing and chewing the rag and kidding back and forth and waiting for the 1 o'clock whistle to blow. And I had a real wave of affection sweep over me. Affection for my job and the people I work with. You've probably had the same experience yourself.
Sure.
One of the things that gave me a warm feeling was the conviction that my fellow workers liked me and were glad to have me back. Listen to me, I sound like a half-wit.
No, you don't.
Why, there was even a suggestion I write a series of articles for the newspaper.
Oh?
Series of articles for the newspaper describing my trip around the Middle West.
Well, why, that'd be nice.
Oh.
Oh, it'd be very nice.
Oh, it's ridiculous, of course, but it's quite a compliment, I thought.
Yes, indeed. Who'd give you such a nice compliment?
It was a suggestion of... Oh, isn't that old man Cheaperson across the street?
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen him in a long time.
He isn't much of a sight.
I bet I haven't seen old man Cheaperson in 6 months.
Who'd you say suggested you ought to write pieces for the paper about your trip?
It crapped up at the telephone switchboard there this noon, where generally a group of kitchenware personnel loafs and chews a fat and waits for the 1 o'clock whistle. Has the old man Cheaperson been sick?
Not that I know of.
No, sir, by George, I bet I haven't set eyes on that old codger for 6 months.
Why should you set eyes on him? He's moved way out to the 1400 block on West Oakland Avenue. Lives with his married daughter, Louise. What is her name? McDermott?
I wouldn't have any idea.
You think maybe you will write pieces for the newspaper about your trip?
Oh, what newspaper editor would be interested in any trash I'd turn out?
Mm.
Yeah.
Who did you say paid you this compliment?
I told you. One of the persons loitering at the telephone switchboard waiting for the 1 o'clock whistle to blow. There's a gang of people always hanging around there at noontime.
One of the persons?
Uh-huh.
You're acquainted with everybody that works down at the plant, ain't you?
Sure.
When you say one of the persons, it sounds like you're referring to some stranger. Sound
well,
like...
Well, it was one of the girls made the suggestion. I believe it was one of the girls. Let's see, was it Olive Hammerstreet? No, I seem to recall it was somebody from the boxing department. Oh, I remember.
Lolita De Renzi.
What?
Nothing. I said Lolita De Renzi also.
Yeah, she was the one who said it. I know somebody said it.
Well, how do you mean?
How do I mean?
You said you knew somebody said it.
Well, sure. Somebody had to say it. I get any mail this afternoon?
No.
Quite a batch of mail had accumulated down to office during my 2 weeks' absence.
Mm.
Business correspondence, mainly. Mm. Oh, well, 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 look who's here. Right on the rattlesnake without any fear. It's Rustledy, Fustledy, Muscledy, Bustle.
Hello,
Mom. Hello, 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 hello.
Who is this noisy fellow you're sitting in the swing with, Mom?
Just some man that happened to walk past.
He's sure jolly.
Uh-huh.
I'm the happiest man this side of town. My cheeks are pink, my eyes are brown. I love to oogle pretty girls and give them ropes of big round pearls.
Where have you been since school let out?
The library.
I was going to say, I hoped you hadn't all of a sudden decided you could go to Tapman's vacant lot and play baseball without coming home first and changing into your old clothes.
Oh, I've been to the public library with Smelly Clark and Mr. Davis.
Hmm.
My slim white feet in her checkered socks resemble pretty flowers. I like to strum my mandolin and while away the hours. Don't you like that poem?
One poem about does me. I can laugh at one poem, but that's pretty much my limit. Additional poems just make me kind of tired.
What a rude thing to say.
Uh-huh. Do you think maybe you will write a series of articles for the newspaper?
Oh, heck, Zane, I don't know.
It's been suggested your father write a batch of pieces for the paper about his trip.
Oh?
Probably the editor would split his thighs laughing if I submitted any such fantastic proposal.
Yes, I imagine it would be awful dull reading.
Why do you say that?
We never went any place on your trip except the Middle West.
Then what's the matter with the Middle West?
Well, people wouldn't look for much excitement in newspaper articles about a fellow that took a business trip through Wisconsin and Michigan.
If any natives of Wisconsin or Michigan were present, their feelings might be hurt by your remark.
Well, I'm not running down Wisconsin and Michigan. Wisconsin and Michigan is fine. But you wouldn't have anything to say about Wisconsin and Michigan that'd thrill anybody.
There's a dear, sweet little boy quite near his state who's discussing matters way over his head, I think.
Hmm.
Russell, honey, an adult of some enlightenment this very day suggested not only that I publish a series of newspaper articles dealing with my trip, but also that I have those articles made into a book.
Who is this?
Lolita De Renzi.
Yes, Miss Lolita De Renzi. A young lady in the boxing department down at the plant.
Well, what would you call your book? A trip through Dacus, Michigan? Bloodthirsty adventures in untamed Wisconsin?
When a 14-year-old lad chooses to be witty, son, he should very carefully...
No, but all you done was take a 2 weeks business trip. You told us yourself you didn't have any experience worth telling.
Miss De Renzi, he might consider God such a dandy smart writer that anything he printed would sound interesting.
We climbed on the train and rode to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. At Milwaukee, Wisconsin, we took a hotel room, ate our lunch, and made a business call on Mr. Johnson. The next day, we took a train for Detroit, Michigan. We made a business call on Mr. Davidson.
Ha, 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 ha,
Well, that was about all you did, wasn't it?
I shall be very sad if it turns out my son is a smart aleck.
If you wrote lots of articles, maybe you could publish a whole set of books.
Mm.
40 or 50 complete volumes and fill up a bookcase on your 2 week business trip through Wisconsin and Michigan.
I'm not at all sure that we don't have two smart alecks in the family. As a matter of actual fact, I'm persuaded there is material for a volume or two of colorful reading on the trip I took. Properly expanded and developed, humorously and attractively presented, I can recall numerous incidents that happened during my journey worthy of relating. There was, for instance, a side-splitting affair involving Mr. Rubish and the conductor on the train to Watersmeet, Michigan.
I guess you didn't tell us about that.
No? Well, that's strange. I thought I had.
Maybe you told it to the different persons skulking around the telephone switchboard waiting for the 1 o'clock whistle to blow.
Maybe I did.
Let's hear the side-splitting affair.
Well, it happened on a train going to Watersmeet, Michigan.
Yeah?
Mr. Rubish went up to the vestibule of the smoking car in which we were riding, taking with him his small, round, collapsible drinking cup, as he was thirsty and wished to refresh himself with a drink of water. Uh-huh. He encountered another passenger on his way up the aisle, and this other passenger blocked his path and said, "Excuse me, but when do we get to Appleton?"
You get it?
No.
We don't get it, Gulf.
What?
Mom and I don't catch on to the joke.
He thought he was the conductor.
Who was the conductor?
The other passenger. He thought Mr. Rubish was the conductor. "Excuse me," he said, "but when do we get to Appleton?"
Why would he take Mr. Rubish for the conductor?
Oh, use your head.
Well, I'm trying to.
Mr. Rubish had a blue suit on.
Oh?
Railroad conductors, you know, all wear blue suits. Hmm. Railroad conductors invariably wear blue suits. Hmm. And this other passenger, seeing a man in a blue suit walk up the aisle, jumped to the conclusion he was the conductor and inquired what time he would get to Appleton.
Well, you should imagine Mr. Rubish was wearing a blue suit.
Yes.
That takes all the subtlety out of it.
Hmm. Is that one of the side-splitting stories you're going to print in your book?
You choose to be sarcastic, do you, sir?
Well, no, I'm just asking is all.
Lolita Duranzi think that was pretty funny, did she?
What?
Did your friend Lolita Duranzi scream and holler and hold her sides when you described Mr. Rubish walking up the aisle after a drink of water and being mistaken for the conductor by another passenger? Where are you going?
It's just possible that some of the boys are over in Ike Niesuffer's basement pitching indoor horseshoes. I'm going over and see.
Want me to come along, Gus?
No. I'll be home in time for supper.
All right.
And if anybody should try to reach me, give them Niesuffer's phone number.
All right.
Mom.
Uh-huh.
We're mean.
Yeah. We're mean.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And now here's Zella Lay.
Aren't there days when you go like 60, yet every minute's crowded? Why, it's dinner time before you know it. Believe me, that's one time you appreciate what Crisco can do to make icebox dibs and dabs a good meal. Our favorite pickup dish is mulligan hash. You simply make a hash of any leftover vegetables and potatoes, add cold meat if you have it, then let sizzling hot Crisco fry it till it's a nice, crusty brown. Say how good it smells and looks. So let the folks dig in hearty. They'll enjoy every bite. And you know something? You don't have to worry about ruffled digestions. Not for one minute. You see, Crisco fried foods agree with the whole family, even the youngsters. That's what's so grand about cooking with Crisco. It's a digestible shortening. Really, Crisco's pure and all vegetable. You'll find it's the finest quality shortening you can buy. Why not try Crisco with some of the tempting dishes you find in Crisco's new wartime cookbook I mentioned before? Better send for your copy of Recipes for Good Eating. Just mail your name and address and 10 cents in coin with a Crisco label, any size. Address Crisco, Department A, Cincinnati 1, Ohio.
And don't forget to listen to Vic and Sade the next time. This is Ed Roberts saying good day for Crisco. It's digestible. This is the National Broadcasting Company.